Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing okay. Really happy that we the change happened.
Yeah, we actually got some semblance of change on this week's SmackDown Live. A very, very fun show, which you're going to hear us review very, very shortly. But before we get into that, I've got a Rusev Hay here that I would love to read out
Rusev
for you.
Rusev Hay.
From a pledge hammer called Matt Noble, who just posted up on our Patreon page yesterday. So I bumped into Ollie Davis tonight, did a little fangirl, and I tried to play it cool. He's taller than I expected.
Everyone says that. It's weird.
So you met one of our pledge hammers last night.
Yeah, so I was my train was cancelled and it was raining and it was so cold. But luckily, downstairs in the station, they had this heater on. And I just stood under the heater for for 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And loads of people walked past. And this guy, like, motioned to me and was like, and I just assumed he's looking at someone else. He's seen someone else he's meeting.
Yeah.
And then he came over to me and he was like, I could only see his mouth move. I had my headphones on. And I take my headphones off and said, hi. And he went, I'm a fan of the show. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. And apparently he was at Fight Forever.
Oh, cool.
But he didn't see us. That was his first ever wrestling show.
How did he find it?
He said he enjoyed it a lot. And I was like, you should go to Rev Pro and stuff. But it's sold out forever.
So, yeah.
But it was very nice to meet a member of the SWAF Nation IRL. And as I said to my girlfriend immediately after, because I ring her as soon as anything like this happens, I'm famous! You're so lucky!
I'm semi-famous!
Yeah. I said, the best thing of all, you seem relatively well-adjusted. It's nice when, like, all our fans, we meet them, and they're all relatively well-adjusted.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, you see, wrestling fans, they get a bad rep.
Mm-hmm. Abso-bloody-exactly. Got a Rusev Hey here from Louis Harker. He says, hi, guys. Not sure if this counts as I'm a trainee wrestler myself, but I'm still a huge markout. It was still a huge markout moment for me. I wrestled tonight on a show featuring WOS wrestler Crater. As part of my gimmick, I throw nachos to the crowd. Think New Day with popcorn, pancake, cereal. And I got a picture with him, offering him a nacho while he's looking truly terrifying. To be honest, not sure if it's being on the show with a big name and asking for a picture is more nerve-wracking than a random meet, as you don't know don't want to look stupid, but he was a true gent and was great with all the guys in the back. We are quite an experienced group, but have grown this year, selling out this last show, and I'm certain a few people from this show will soon be on your radar. Probably not me, I know my own limits. But there is some real talent in Manchester and the surrounding areas that you must check out. Sorry for the long email, if it doesn't count as Rusev Hey, but I'm a fan first and foremost, and it was a really cool moment for me. Huge fan of the work and proud to be a pledge hammer. Louis Harker, a.k.a. Disfrazado Rodrigo, I believe is his wrestler name.
Wow.
And there is a picture of him offering a Dorito, by the looks of this, to Crater.
Both lucha mask wearing.
Yes.
Wow, I like, what's his name again?
Louis Harker.
Louis's mask there is something else.
Oh, isn't it just?
It looks like an octopus on his head.
Mate, you might get signed just based on your mask.
Yeah, just for the merchandise potential.
Oh, absolutely.
Kids love masks.
Yes.
Does it say what the promotion was?
He doesn't say what his promotion was, which is an error when you're emailing about a promotion you work for. So please do let us know. We can give you a plug on this show. Got another Rusev Hey hit, and when I saw who was in the subject line, instantly my interest peaked.
Can I guess?
Go on then.
Raven, that's what I meant to say.
It is not Raven.
Chris Sabin.
No.
Who else does Luke like? Ariel.
No.
From
December
from
to December.
Tag match. I don't know, tell me.
Well, afternoon, Luke, Ollie and Laurie. I haven't had as many Rusev Hayes recently, so I thought I'd send in another of mine. Or I haven't heard any Rusev Hayes, I should say. This Rusev Hay came about 4 years ago while attending a local WXW show here in Florida. This is the same company I met Scotty Too Hotty in my previous Rusev Hay. Every WXW show has an intermission that allows the wrestlers who are on the night's card to come out and walk around the audience, meeting the fans and taking photos. It's very common to bump into the owner, Afra of the Wild Samoans, a.k.a. Pops, or his lovely wife who helps with tickets and concessions. We all refer to her affectionately as Mom.
WXW.
WXW.
That's a German promotion.
I mean, it must be a different WXW.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. The guest of the evening I was most interested in saying hello to and shaking hands was a man made famous in wrestling lore, King Haku.
Wow.
Oh, man. If you want to talk about an intimidating person to shake hands with, it's bloody Haku. I'd be terrified to meet him. He lives locally and even works down the road from where I live. Even in his 50s and walking around in sweatpants, Haku looks intimidating. As I approached him, I slowed down as he was talking to two younger WXW wrestlers and I didn't want to interrupt. I was very close enough to hear King Haku remind the younger men that taking time to pose and say hello with the children today will create a lasting bond as they grow and follow your career. Both men shook hands and went to say hello to the audience. That's when I got to say hello to King Haku, shake his hand and even have a small chat. He was very pleasant and seemed to enjoy being a mentor to the students. I did my best to speak clearly and not saying anything he might take as an insult. After our small chat,
He did what?
After our small
chat. He laid a small little poop. But I spoke perfectly, but I also pooped on the floor in front of it.
I just did a little poopy. So scary.
No.
After our small chat, I shook his hand again and let him head back to prepare for the second portion of the night's card. I have no doubt the stories I've heard about his toughness are true. His handshake felt like it was designed to crush diamonds. But to be able to talk to him for a few minutes more than made up for the fact that my fingers were crushed. Those two young wrestlers King Haku spoke to have been doing pretty well for themselves. One is Sean Maluta, who wrestled in the first Cruiserweight Classic and has been featured on NXT and 205 Live. And the other one is the finest of NXT today, Kona Reeves. Keep up your consistency, guys. James J. Dillon.
We sure are consistent.
We certainly are, if nothing else.
So I made fun of you for mispronouncing something. We mispronounce a lot of stuff.
It's part of our gimmick.
Yeah, but it's also part of Shane McMahon's gimmick. And we call him out on that today. And now I feel a bit bad because we mispronounce stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's more professional. Where does the professional line?
Well,
when should we actually start re-recording stuff if we screw up?
Well, like we do on the videos.
We do on the green screen stuff, but the Wrestle Ramble, it's a ramble. It's kind of,
I think it's more free-flowing, man. But I think people like us because we're not that good at what we do. I think that's part of our charm, really. I was talking to some friends of mine last night, and they were joking that, my friend was saying, like, you know, she's been paid to do an acting gig before, so she can technically call herself a professional actor because she's been paid. Same way that I've been paid to do a gig once, so we used to call ourselves professional musicians. It's like, well, we've been paid now. That's it. We're made.
Mm.
So I guess because we get paid to do this, we should be considered professionals. But at the same time, we're not broadcasting to millions of people around the world.
A million. We do broadcast to a million, over a million different people a month.
But it's, you know, not on the same league as WWE.
No,
we don't have the same reach, nor are we paid as much as they are. You know, Shane McMahon is...
Laurie is.
Well, is he on Shane McMahon money? Because I'd imagine Shane's on quite a bit of cash, to be honest.
Fake it or don't come cheap.
But those masks, mate. Cod liver oils.
I was talking about this, actually, about professional, like, what we can count. If you're paid to do something, does that make you a professional in that field? Like, I wouldn't count myself a professional cleaner when I used to scrub my dad's car as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, I never got paid for the dance performance we did on stage.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we paid for it.
But you and Laurie technically did.
Oh, that's true. I suppose we did, yeah.
So, you're a professional dancer.
Well, it's about time I've been recognised as such, to be honest. Yeah. It's my lifelong dream. It'll be Strictly Come Dancing next for me, imagine. Well, because there was a YouTube...
And then the jungle.
Well, there was a YouTube kid on there this year, which my mother got very excited about, because she was like, that means you and Ollie can definitely do it now, because if they're putting YouTubers on there, then they'll let anyone do it.
There are different... levels of YouTubers, Mum.
That's what I argued. But my mum sort of sees it as just like, it's a blanket thing. If you are on YouTube and people watch you, then you're all at the same level. We're basically PewDiePie to my mum.
And we work for YouTube, don't we? Like, they tell us what to do. That's how it works.
They're technically our boss.
Yeah,
really, when you think about it. I think that's all we've got time for on the email side of things in this intro. Maybe we'll do an agony arts request, because we've got a couple. Someone who has sent theirs in 3 or 4 times now, including urgent, please read before the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
So we'll try and get to it, but it is like the longest email. It's the one that I said it had like 27 paragraphs. Mm. So if we can't read it out, I'm going to try and find a way to do a condensed version of it. So I have read your email. But I've got to try and condense it down, because there's like 20 years worth of backstory that he's got to get into this email.
The abridged version. And the return of everyone's new favourite segment, Help the Algorithm.
Half-assed iTunes review readouts. So we're going to kick off with the SmackDown review, talking about Mustafa Ali. What's that? Could he be a main eventer of SmackDown? Well, let's find out. Here's the show.
Well, we are kicking off with a cracking main event.
Very good main event. An excellent main event, one might say.
A main event in the new era that actually had change in.
This, like, okay, so we got a bit of stick yesterday for the Raw reviews that we did for being, quote, too negative, because we thought there wasn't enough change in the show. And you know what? Change takes time. Rome wasn't built in a day, some might say.
Yes.
And yet, somehow, SmackDown felt like a completely different show this week. It felt like actual change had happened.
Well, it didn't feel like a completely different show, but it did feel like the start of change. You know, like little bits were moved.
The first episode of a new era.
And like when people say change takes time, and this is a good first step in change. It's not like when the brand split happened and there was that roaming cam, the commentary desk positions were changed. That roving cam has just gone, by the way.
Yep.
There were different promo styles to separate the two brands. Like, that is a big switch up of change right away. And that wasn't what we were looking for. It would have been nice, but what we were looking for was just a little bit of change, especially after the McMahons announced that on Raw. And then, segment by segment, there was literally nothing.
Yep.
There was no change on the show.
It was all the same.
But SmackDown kicked off with change, had a little bit of change in the middle, and ended on, you know, a bit of change as well.
I would say that there was quite a lot of change by the end. Mm. And the tag team section had a big amount of change in there too.
Yeah.
And I thought that actually throughout the show, there's only really one, maybe two storylines that have really continued from TLC, being the Miz and Shane McMahon co-bestie storyline and the sort of triple threat feud between Becky, Charlotte and Asuka.
Yeah, it's a real shame that Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio storyline wasn't continued on this show.
Well,
but hopefully next week.
I was going. Well, yeah. I mean, we know that it's been taped next week, and we're not. We got a bit of flack yesterday as well. I say a bit. We got like a couple of tweets, and a few people said we gave away too many spoilers from Raw next week.
Mm.
So we will avoid doing any SmackDown spoilers this week. But
they are in the news if you want to see them.
Yes, but spoilers. Randy and Rey are not on next week's show either.
Hey, you just said no spoilers.
That's not a spoiler.
So many people aren't going to watch now. Anyway, this main event was a tag team main event of Daniel Bryan and Andrade Cien Almas.
Oh, mate, already.
What a dream team.
Already, I'm in.
Any combination of those two, I'm in. They could be facing each other.
Yep.
As heel versus heel, face versus face, face versus heel, as a tag team, as a heel tag team, as a babyface tag team. So very much behind that. And who are they facing? AJ Styles, you know, okay, fair enough. He was the WWE champion forever, who never main evented a pay-per-view. But he's a great wrestler. The house that AJ Styles built, not much change there. And Mustafa Ali,
who was announced as the newest member of the SmackDown Live roster. He is now officially part of SmackDown.
He's all grown up.
Which is great. This was tremendous news. Mm. When they announced this, like, they put up a graphic that just said, hey, our main event tonight is AJ and Mustafa Ali versus Brian and Almas. I was like, I'm so in for this episode. I'm so ready.
But I certainly was, after, you know, just being conditioned by WWE, they give us something and then they don't follow up on it. So many examples this year. Apollo Crews, for instance. Mm. And I hear Mustafa Ali is going to be in the tag team main event. I was like, okay, so, you know, he's going to get a little bit for over the Christmas period, and when the proper storylines have to start, he'll evaporate away again. But they follow that up. Just Corey Graves almost mentions it offhand. Oh yeah, he's part of the SmackDown roster now.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was like, wow, okay, that's really important to build trust in me as a viewer, because you delivered something last week, which mm-hmm. was that Ali Bryan segment, and you followed up on it with another step, and it opens. It makes me hopeful for what they'll do with the rest of the 205 roster.
That is the key for me here. And I mentioned this in my review as well, is that it really does give us hope that, because 205 Live, as great of a show as it is a wasted hole of talents that they have there, because no one's watching the product. It is a show that very rarely cracks the top 10 of most watched things on the WWE network. It's usually like 15th, sometimes even lower down than that. No one, as great as it is, no one is watching the product. So why waste that talent there? Why isn't Buddy Murphy in the upper mid card on Raw? Like, why is he just the Cruiserweight champion on a show that no one watches, or on the kickoff shows? Like, there's so much that Hideo Itami, Akira Tozawa,
gets over.
He's so good. Why is he? And he's not done anything this year. Brian Kendrick, Gentleman Jack Gallagher. There's so
Drew
many
Gulak,
guys.
No
Drew
Gunn.
Oh man, there's so many guys that are there that
you could do. Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many guys you could do so much with. Bolster up your mid card. Create a tag team out of some of them. Mm. Fill out these positions. And yeah, Mustafa Ali going across the SmackDown Live really gives me hope into the new year that more of the 205 Live guys will find themselves going across to both shows as well, and actually just being more than, they can still do 205 Live, but being more than just 205 guys and be able to be in better positions on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, I think 205 Live, just logistically, the way it has to be live, the weight limit, just all of the stuff, no matter that it's got good wrestling, it's like, wherever it's placed in your taping schedule, it bores the audience. It tires the audience. I personally would drop 205 Live. I think it's been, just over 2 years now.
Yeah.
You can drop it now, and it's not that bad.
It was a good experiment. Mm. It never delivered on its promise.
But like you said, I don't mind if you keep it either. The most important thing is to feature these guys on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Just to, like, what a great way to shake it up. Everyone's looking at NXT. But now I kind of didn't even really consider 205 Live.
Same
here.
It
was a blind spot in my mind. But now, with I guess, Lucha House Party has already come over to Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Ali has really, like, properly broken through into the main event. I mean, I've always liked Ali. The Cruiserweight, he was an alternate in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yes.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today. And look where he is now.
Pinning the WWE champion.
Yeah.
I'd said in the review, in one match, one move and one win, he already feels like a big deal on that show. Mm. It's incredible what they've done.
Yeah, so that's what happened in this match. It was just a really great match. Not 4 stars or anything, but just solid main event TV. Match. I'm talking that where you sort of progress characters and storylines, and it's really entertaining to watch. That's what you want from a TV match. You save your really good matches for the pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
It was extraordinary, and none of the guys felt overexposed, because it's a tag match. You just do the bits that get you over. That's how week-to-week TV should work, if I was doing it. And it wasn't just Mustafa who shined. Like, Almas was so good. Man.
When he does that kick and back elbow, it's so quick. It's unreal. He is just untapped potential, in Almas. We've been saying it since he got the call-up earlier this year, that he's been completely wasted up on the main roster. A legit guy you could have just slotted into the main event from the get-go. He was an already made main eventer. And they went, nah. Got an out for you. Oh, do you know what you'd be good for? Mixed tags. Mm. That's your role. That's your lot in life. Mixed tags.
Yeah, to look at Zelina Vega and say, you're a wrestler now.
You're the star of this act. That's the key to it.
But I thought, so as great as Almas was, as great as Brian was, he cut a promo before the match, which was just brilliant. He got people to boo climate change. In almost a cheer.
He got people to cheer pollution.
Yeah, that's it. That's the best way of putting it.
Because he said that Fresno has the highest pollution rates in California, and Fresno, as an audience, went, hey, look how great we are. I was like, no, you idiot.
We're number one.
You idiots, that's a bad thing. Great stuff. But because Brian's such a good heel, it almost works.
Yeah. He's so good at getting genuine heat.
Yeah.
And of course he is. He's a marvelous performer. But I just thought he would really struggle because people love him so much.
Yeah.
But he is just as good a heel as he is a babyface. It's incredible.
It's something I was actually listening to after we did our review of Raw yesterday. I listened to the Wrestling Observer review that they did. And Meltzer made the point that like SmackDown has been a very good show for the majority of this year. But he says like the best thing on the show at the moment is Daniel Bryan. Like that was Dave Meltzer's opinion. SmackDown is essentially being carried by the brilliance of Daniel Bryan. And his point there was that that's the one character on that show that's been done by the wrestler themselves. That's not a team of writers that's sort of doing that. That's Daniel Bryan's ideas and being like, this is what I think we should do with this character. These are the promos I would like to cut. These are the points I would like to hit. And when you talk about the McMahons, oh, this is our new era. It's a new era of change. We're listening to the fans and everything. For me, I would like more of what we're seeing in Daniel Bryan, of wrestlers being given the opportunity to pitch what they'd like to do and being given more creative freedom in their characters and their promos.
Yeah, because earlier on in the year, Bryan was, you know, he had to do the stuff that was dictated to him. Big cast feuds.
You're short, mate.
And I wouldn't say it's all Bryan because you've got Becky Lynch on this brand, but that is another example of someone who has really run with their character.
Yeah.
And she got it over. It's her Twitter game.
But it got over by accident.
Yeah. But they, like, after a while, the WWE went with it.
It's another example
of the wrestler having more creative input into their character.
Yeah.
But Ali.
Yes,
Ali, back to Ali.
He
is such a good babyface.
Oh, a wonderful babyface in peril.
Yeah, because he sold for the majority of this match to build up AJ's hot tag. And, you know, you could watch this match on Raw with Dean Ambrose or like the Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler working someone over. And I love Drew McIntyre, but just the way Raw structures their matches and how everything feels stale, I was like, okay, I'm bored. But Mustafa Ali, maybe it's because he's fresh. He's just got something about him that, like a Ricky Steamboat kind of thing. I don't think it'd ever work as a heel, but I said the same thing about Bryan.
Yeah, and this was, as you say, was like them. It was Almas and Bryan working over Ali for, I'd say, 90% of the match, really, which you might think was boring. But Ali's such a good babyface in peril that you're like, God, I want to see him get that hot tag to AJ.
And also, he'd have the occasional hope spot where he would come back with a move. And those moves were spectacular.
Yeah.
It was, but then they'd get cut off immediately. And you're like, oh, I was into that.
So close. Yeah, I want to see him do it even more.
But like, yeah, he did this, he did a rolling somersault X Factor over the top rope to hit Almas at one point, and then ascent onto the outside. I was just like, the whole time, it's not that I was so into Ali as a babyface. I was just happy for the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a spot when Almas does his like double moonsault thing where he does the moonsault, land on his feet and do the moonsault. And I thought to myself, oh, Ali's going to get caught again here. And then you get the knees up on the second moonsault. And I was like, come on, lad. Yes, get that tag now.
Yeah, and that's when he made the hot tag.
Yeah.
I was genuinely into that spot as well. There's another bit where he's out on the outside. He does the running Hurricane Rana on Almas to take Almas out. Off the steel steps, which was very impressive. And Bryan and AJ are just so good in the ring together.
Yeah.
Like, watching them again reminded me how much I loved that TLC match.
And credit to Almas on that Hurricane Rana spot as well, because Ali did lose his stepping and slipped ever so slightly, which they covered for on commentary as well, but Almas made it look absolutely... He made it look like no mistake had been made.
So AJ and Bryan have a few bits together, and AJ hits up because the stuff happened outside with the Hurricane Runner off the steps. I was like, okay, so that's their side, and now AJ and Bryan are going to finish off the match.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. AJ does a phenomenal forearm onto Almas once he's back in the ring, and Ali hits the reverse 450, so it's called the 054.
The 054.
Brilliant. he hits that on Bryan and freaking wins.
Yeah, I know. Although,
Let's just bask in the glory as Keith Lee would say,
yep.
of Ali winning.
And, oh,
and
man,
then we can say about that.
Ali selling of pinning Daniel Bryan as well. And like they put it over massively on commentary of just like Mustafa Ali just pinned the WWE champion. And it's so weird. Like a week ago, if you'd have said, could you imagine Mustafa Ali in a main event position on SmackDown? I'm like, nah, do you know what? I could see him as definitely a solid upper mid card guy, very much in that mix. By the end of the show, I was like, maybe he could be a main eventer on SmackDown. Maybe he could be. Maybe I've just been conditioned by this company to think a guy like that cannot be a top guy.
Yeah.
And yet, here I am being like, maybe he could be.
Well, it's not just that it's a guy in 205 Live can't be a top guy. He hasn't been on the... He's only 2 weeks new to SmackDown, really. And AJ does a great job putting him over.
Yeah.
Just raising his hand, pointing at Ali.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's so many ways you can go from here. And I don't know Ali's ethnicity, but I feel like this is a very rare example of WWE putting someone over as a person, as a character that's not tied to their ethnicity, who's not like, you know, like just a white guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And like even the women are put over as, well, Dan, you're a woman. It's like that only the guys can do stuff, only white guys can do stuff that's not tied to who they are. And yeah, it was such a wholesome win.
Yeah, it really was. Really, really nice.
But now we can talk about that landing.
Yes. Okay, so, oh, man. I mean, I saw it at the time, and I went back and watched it a couple of times afterwards. But, yeah, Ali sort of missed the 054 and landed very, very hard on Brian. Some people are saying it was his arm that he landed on. Some people are saying his chest. Some people are saying his neck.
Mm.
Brian made his way to the back on his own, but he did need to be helped out of the ring from fan reports that were there. Reports are that Brian backstage was like, I'm absolutely fine. I have no issue with the spot whatsoever, and I've got no qualms with what Ali did. But you can hear Ali audibly apologizing for hitting him very hard. And even
as he's pinning him, he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's like, I'm really sorry.
And then feud.
And Brian's like, oh, it's okay. And then, oh. And you can even see after the pin has been done, Ali's got his hand on his chest to be like, yeah, sorry. I'm really sorry about that. Don't tell Mr. McMahon I did a bad thing. He's not watching backstage. He won't know what I done.
And Brian and AJ, like, they're at a very, you know, they're at the top there, and they are working very hard here to get this guy over, which is just beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it should be done, rather than, you know, in like the 90s and the old days where the main eventers would actively keep those people down. Maybe that's why this felt like such a refreshing change for SmackDown. And like, I think Brian, he knows what the atmosphere is like in WWE. So he, not only did he put Ali over really strong here, and it really makes the 054 like a really devastating finisher.
Yeah.
It's one of the most visually impressive ones in the company, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he, just like how Justin Gabriel's normal 450 used to be really big in the Nexus days, and like that would be the last move people would get hit in the beatdown.
That was like the Nexus move.
Yeah. And for Brian to go back and reportedly be like, no, I'm totally fine, even though he probably is pretty hurt. That's fair play to Brian for helping out a guy.
It's Pritchard always tells, he says, obviously, and it's Pritchard, so you got to take it with a pinch of salt, but Pritchard always says that he knew when a guy was going to be like another top guy in the company, because Steve Austin would be like, I'm not sure that guy can be a main eventer.
Mm.
That was always Pritchard's like, oh, okay, the top guy's worried now.
Yeah.
So I think we've definitely got a main eventer on our hands here. But yeah, as you say, like this change of attitude within wrestlers these days, where it's just like, no, we want to elevate more people. We want to get the more people that are on top, the more people I can face as champion, the more fun I get to have as a wrestler.
Exactly. And, you know, Brian's obviously a very unselfish
very
person.
Much so, yeah.
Just a really good main event, like, and just a real wholesome outcome. Very happy for Ali. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the part of the show where we say thank you to our pledge hammers, those who donate $25 or more a month to us on Patreon. Thank you ever so much.
You help keep the lights on.
Yeah, you also, of course, get our two Patreon exclusive podcasts every month of $5 and $10 backers. Everyone else, hey, go and check those out.
Exactly. And our $5 and above backers will get our review of ECW December to Dismember 2006. If you're wondering why we hate the 2006 era of WWE, go and listen to that show, because it's a classic example of why that period of WWE absolutely sucked.
Yeah. Is our review longer than the pay-per-view again?
Slightly, yes.
That's all I ever want.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 hours, I think.
So thank you very much, Britain's Next Top Model, Phil Stockland.
Oh, Phil, what a nice guy.
We've met him in the flesh.
We have indeed. He is a guy I always want to impress. Mm. He is a guy I strive to impress on this channel.
He's a video editor.
He's a very...
And we're pretenders.
Yeah, very much so. Stem Cell, Robert Stemmen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, nice, important stuff.
I trust you as Sam Farah, as I can throw you.
My favourite name.
That's an awkward pun.
Sean L. Blandito. Blandford. It's a new one. New name for Sean Blandford. He requested it.
Bland.
He requested it, saying, like, I've been far from bland for a long time now. Let's have something new.
So he's just the Spanish bland. It's
exactly.
Like it's another El Generico.
Exactly, yeah.
Shimmy Gang Got, Zachary Robert Crowley Barros.
Nice.
I don't know what that means.
No, neither do I. Have a cup of tea, Lee. Tea
Lee.
Yes, I will indeed.
The real true heel, Len Bray.
Oh, he's such a heel. Caught in a Travis Webb.
Woo.
Yes. Spiders.
We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Yeah, nice.
Hunt some Bryans.
Charlie, jink it in. Well, okay, so this is... So it's spelled like Zyman. So I've called it... So I gave him the name Charlie Drink It In Zyman. But he let me know that's actually pronounced Zima. So it doesn't quite work anymore. So I might need to think of a different one. So for the moment... Charlie, drink it in, Zima.
Whoa,
yeah, still works, I guess.
Even weirder because it's spelt with two N's. Just to wrong foot you twice.
No.
Is it a silent N that doesn't usually exist?
No, it's a silent double N.
What are you talking about, Jerry Willis?
What are you talking about?
Strokes.
Another lad that we've met at the Prince Charles. King George Phillips. Nice chap.
Royalty.
Royalty.
Joking Joshua Selleck.
Oh, yes.
Woo.
He's not joking around. Noah the Ark Trombley.
Two of every kind.
Oh, yes.
There can only be one R legend.
There can only be one, and it is you, mate. Robert Spencer. Periods.
Good
Monty
grief,
Brown.
That was loud in my ears.
Sorry, mate.
Harder than its bite, Sean Barksdale.
Oh, yes. Dog references.
Yeah.
The incredible Jorge Henriquez.
Nice pronunciation, buddy.
Thank you very much,
Michael
man.
Sands of Time.
Oh, Prince of Persia. Kenneth Houston. We have a problem. WrestleMania
space.
X7.
Oh, okay. I went for space.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Bull Lift Club leader, Johnny Motta.
It sounds like it's a Johnny Impact gimmick, but it's that's what he is.
Was that did Johnny suggest that name?
Yeah.
Bull Lift Club.
I'm so guessing he works
it
for
sounds
the
like the Bullet Club.
But it's Bull Lift Club.
Bull Lift Club.
Well, but
thanks, Johnny.
You're the
Mata.
Leader of it anyway, my friend. And finally for this episode, JVF, Jack Van Fleet.
Woo.
Yes. We'll have the final lot of $25 and above shoutouts in tomorrow's NXT review.
Unlike Raw, which opened with a 20-minute long in-ring promo, which feels very normal for Raw, despite they say the change, SmackDown did start with a very seismic change, and not one I like. But I'm willing to see where it goes. So it opens with the entire roster backstage, which I much prefer. It's a much more succinct way of delivering a message. You can get this whole segment done in 3 to 4 minutes, whereas as soon as you bring that outside, you've got to do ring entrances, you've got to pause for what chance, and it just takes the drama out of it a bit. Sometimes it works, of course, but this was a much better way of doing it. So the entire roster are backstage. Shane McMahon is on a podium, and he's talking about how on last night on Raw...
Boo! From the SmackDown lot. They're the only ones buying into this Raw versus SmackDown nonsense.
Yeah. Raw were like, what's a SmackDown? And the McMahon family, he says the McMahon family ushered in a new era.
Yeah.
So they're really focusing on the McMahon family side of this.
Well, absolutely, yeah. The McMahons are in charge. Mm. They are the new, they are the authority figures across Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. And Shane just says so many times here, can you feel me? unresponsive thing from December to dismember. Where he just like, it's going to be change. Can you feel me? There's going to be this. Can you feel me? Can you feel me, SmackDown roster? Can you feel me?
Because I feel like Shane often acts like a preacher to SmackDown Live, because he's like, he's one of the boys. He's not like on Raw over there where they're all separated. No, he's one of the, we're all in this together, like High School Musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This wasn't annoying, Shane. I did like him up there. And Big E is just munching on pancakes.
Well, you see, really? I thought it was pancakes as well, but someone said it's beef. He's like munching on a steak while looking at Brian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my
he's
God.
I watched it back in, but I couldn't quite make out what he was eating. But he is like staring a hole in Brian while he's doing it with his massive white eyes.
That's fantastic. I mean, another thing that you can do with backstage stuff like this rather than that. I mean, this did seem to be live, though, because Shane fluffed a line and they kept it in. Quite an important line he fluffed.
We'll get to that, though. It could just be that he just kept fluffing the line and they were like, do you know what? It's the best we're going to get.
48th take, Shane.
like Tommy Wiseau in the room.
This was really good because the camera, just a few clips here and there of people in the crowd reacting. And you really got a sense of their characters, like Brian just not doing anything, Big E doing what you just said. Almas was like, I don't care about any of this.
And he was saying things like, we're going to have new faces and fresh matchups. And it cuts to a shot of Gallows and Anderson. Mm. And you can almost see the process in their head going like, yes, about time.
Which is very good foreshadowing for what happened later.
Exactly, it's time for us to step up.
And it just puts these characters who are usually distinct and separate together. And you can see the contrasts and how they react to each other. And you're like, you know what? You've actually got a very diverse bunch of characters there. But we don't always see it because they only play off one or two other people.
Yeah.
So I was a huge fan of this, of just the presentation. But then came the part where Shane says, now it's time for us to, thank formal genre manager Paige. Come on up here, Paige.
So here's a fun fact for you. I didn't know that Paige had been taken off as SmackDown GM until after the show. Because he'd went, I thought he just said general manager Paige, and then was like, give her a round of applause, thank you, Paige. And it wasn't until I went on to Cage Side Seats later, it was like, Paige has been ruined. I was like, was she? And I went back and rewatched, I was like, oh God, I missed that very big detail. Because he literally says, she's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh right, so she's remaining as SmackDown GM, that's interesting.
Yeah, so how this bit played out was, formal genre manager Paige of Shane speaking there. Paige steps up onto this podium thing, and Shane goes, "Don't worry, she's not yet. Like you said, she's not going anywhere."
Yep.
What's the exact role? The role has changed. So I'm like, "Oh, okay. So they're not called general managers anymore. They'll be called something else."
Yeah.
And then he says, "When everyone say thank you, Paige," and this could easily be. Cheers, Paige. You're a great general manager. You are honestly the only main roster authority figure that everyone really likes.
Yep, you've never been emasculated. You've not been cut at the knees. You have just been great.
But then, like, the more I rewatched this three times because I was like, what is Shane saying? And I was like, no, he's saying former
general manager. Yeah.
But even then, you're like, okay, the role's changed to what? I don't know. But then they say later on in the show, I think, that Paige is no longer general manager.
Yeah, I think
manager.
I missed that line.
And I was just so that's a shame. PW Insider have reported that the real reason this is because as part of this new era, we're not going to have general managers anymore.
No.
Which, you know, I'm not against. You know, I don't mind not having everything centered around authority figures. So we'll see where it goes. At the moment, though, it looks like it's just going to be the McMahon family.
Well, exactly. They're the general managers. Mm. It's just they're not called the general managers anymore.
Yeah.
And it's it's basically WWE listening to their fans. When we said, we're really sick and tired of heel general managers, and they've gone, oh, okay, so you don't like any general managers. That's fine. We'll just get rid of all of them, and we'll do a blanket release of all of them, and we'll just have us in charge instead.
Mm.
So the other report that I saw was that she's going to be headed for the kickoff shows.
So that was speculation.
Oh, was it speculation?
Yeah, so I think Cage Side Seats did this wonderful thing that they like to do is in their rumor section where they say PW Insider say this is happening, but then you go on PW Insider and they say, yeah, if she could go anywhere, maybe the kickoff show like Booker T's used.
Oh, okay.
So not strictly true, just speculation.
Good work, Cage Side Seats. That's in my SmackDown review as well. Cheers, lads.
I mean, they do say at the top none of this should be taken seriously.
Yeah.
So no more Paige, which is a shame, and going by her tweets, she found out about this couple of hours before the show started.
Yeah, she was posting up a lot of office gifts, the US office, not the rubbish UK one. And that's going to draw me some heat. And it very much felt like she was doing the mostly ironically of like, today's going to be a great day.
Mm.
Like, I'm in for a great year ahead of me. Very much being like the Michael Scott thing of like, he thinks that he's headed for a great day, but something is terribly going to go wrong and he's going to have a very bad day.
Yeah, so that's a shame. Hopefully, I really liked Paige in the general manager role. I don't think, I guess the only other thing is just a normal manager role.
Maybe she could go back to managing Absolution.
Yeah, maybe, but she's so good. Like, I think she would overshadow the majority of people she manages.
I mean, she did when she was in Absolution.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like a figure like Nia Jax, who's got their, like the Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman dynamic,
mm-hmm.
Someone who's very powerful. Yeah, and especially with the movie coming out, you would think that you'd want her in a really prominent position on TV.
Well, that's why she was brought back to TV, like, right? That's why they gave her the general manager role.
Also because she had to retire.
But what I mean was, like, she could have retired and then just not done anything with her. But they wanted to keep her on TV to help promote the movie and make the movie seem like a bigger deal. And now they're like, well, we just don't want general managers anymore, so see ya.
Yeah.
Until the movie comes out.
2 months before.
Yeah, 2 months before. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, the movie. That's right. That's why we wanted you in this role. Oh, we need to find something to do now, I guess. Maybe it will be the kickoff shows. Maybe you should move into a manager position. It's a shame. Like I was never, I've never been the biggest fan of Paige. Like, I thought she was very good as a wrestler, but I was never like, God, she's brilliant and she's the best and I want to see her wrestle all the time. Very sad when she had to retire because it's a tragically young age. And I liked her in the role. But I was I'm not looking at this being like, this is the worst thing, or this is like a really disappointing thing. I'm just like, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm a bit more sad about it. So I do like Paige.
I think I'll be honest. I think I was actually sick and tired of the general manager thing anyway, because the general manager thing never really felt like it meant anything. And
it did when Shane wasn't around.
Well,
and
yeah,
Paige was the only authority figure.
It was quite nice for that period of time, I suppose. But I'm sitting here going like, I'm not really into the idea of general managers, but the McMahons are just going to be the general manager, so like nothing's really changing there.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what
happens. But at least there is change.
Yes, there is change.
Promise changed. Next up, we got Becky Lynch in with an in-ring promo, who was just awesome,
so
as
good.
Always. She said, I don't care who's running the show, because the man's in charge.
Exactly. She said, I'm not here to hear corporate nonsense. I'm in the ring to conduct real business. I'm looking for a fight. So, so good. And yes, Paige, bloody love you. And the reason why I bloody love you, she sold the loss. She sold the loss at TLC. She didn't walk down to the ring doing her regular entrance, smiling away.
You just said Paige, by the way. You mean Lynch.
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly what I mean. Yes. Sorry. Confusion. Lynch, that's why I bloody love you. She stormed down to the ring, pissed off look on her face, was like, I had my title stolen from me on Sunday, and I'm going to sell that I'm annoyed. Not like a lot of other wrestlers, just like, I'm just going to do my regular run. Like Ronda Rousey after being beaten up by Charlotte Flair, coming down the ring, hey, I'm all right, me.
Ooh.
Ooh, actually, a bit ouchy.
Hurting on the inside.
Oh, it's, yeah.
As Renee would say.
Or Michael Cole, either one of them. But yeah, so she sold the loss, and I thought that was great, and then she sold that even further in her promo. Mm. Loved it. Thought it was great.
She she said, come on, McMahon's, give me Ronda Rousey. Charlotte interrupts, say that she'll get the next shot to become the 8-time champion. And then Asuka comes out and says, you know, like, I'm the champion on this brand.
Hello.
Do you not want this one?
I'm the champion, yeah.
The only one you can contractually fight for.
Yeah.
Forget Ronda. That's what she says. And then Vince McMahon comes down when they're all talking over each other. And the crowd went crazy because he wasn't advertised for this show. Mm-hmm. And, it's always fun to hear the...
No chance. It's fun to sing along with, yeah.
But again...
Praising him for booking a terrible show.
Yeah, Vince was... lackluster again. His heart didn't seem to be in it.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, really. We didn't say this on yesterday's show, but it is quite sad to see him out there because he looks. I mean, Grant, yeah, he is old, but he looks so old.
Yeah, it's like he ages a lot more every time.
Yeah,
he's off telly. I mean, I don't want to be ageist or anything.
No.
He's still very competent, but it's weird how his. I mean, he is ageist. He explicitly says to people, you're too old to be on TV. This has been a thing going back decades. And he's putting himself out there. I know the reasons why. It's just...
I mean, it worked on Raw, didn't it? It popped a rating.
Yeah, big rating. Yeah, so he tells Becky and Charlotte to get over
big,
it.
Big comparatively.
Yeah, but from the lowest ever recorded rating of Raw.
To the best one since August.
Yeah.
Good work.
So he tells Becky and Charlotte to get over it and, you know, like, just do things by themselves. And, you know, that's what they're doing right now. They're just asking for a Ronda shot.
Yeah, it was a really weird thing. And Vince McMahon essentially said to Becky Lynch, you're a terrible millennial who just wants things handed to her. Mm. And I was like, I bloody knew you were behind that millennial man promo. Had to be you.
And Vince says, well, we're going to book Asuka in a title defense now. And it's Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi comes out and she's like, I think I should get my chance. Granted, she was meant to have had a title shot to show on the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal that never came to fruition. So finally, she got her one-on-one championship opportunity. Her first since like the middle of last year, apparently. Mm. And I said this in the review, but this is something that we've been sort of waiting for the majority of 2018. In fact, all of 2018. The chance for Naomi to have an actual wrestling match and to show off that she is actually a very good wrestler. But she's just been sidelined all year long because... the brand and the company thought, Carmella, that's who we should be pushing as the face of this division. And so, unfortunately, Naomi and Asuka and a few others just had to sit the sidelines and do nouts. And, like, with this, you know, the winds of change, can you hear them? Can you hear the winds of change? Perhaps we're going to be able to see some of these people step up and be like, no, I'm actually going to be a title contender. Maybe the Iconics will get something to do on SmackDown other than lose or win in Australia. So yeah, I think this is a good thing.
Yeah, the match was pretty decent. It got a long amount of time.
Got really good by the end.
Yeah, there were a few really nice spots there, especially the Naomi springboard move into the Asuka lungbuster into the Asuka lock, which was the finish.
Absolutely, and there was loads of like really good reversals of the Asuka lock into pin attempts. I thought it's got really good by the end. No real mention of the fact that they were a tag team.
I know, right? That was literally 3 weeks ago.
I know.
Charlotte and Becky are out there, but the. Like, off of this, I'm not like, I want to see Naomi in a, like, wrestling for the title, but this is what you should be doing. You should be putting these people in these spots, giving them amount of time to try and get over with their wrestling.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this time it didn't connect with me, but, you know, if next week it could be Sonya Deville, hey, all of a sudden I'm in.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
That's how you build stars and get people invested. So... big tick there.
Big, big old tick. Yeah, and it did, like, although, you know, Vince essentially said at the start that, you know, we are ditching away of the antiquated automatic rematch clause, which is really going to be good when your Straight to Hell video goes up on Cultaholic this month, and you're wanting...
Spoiler,
one of the things you want to send there has already gone. It's already been...
They even listened to me before. Like, they bugged the room.
So yeah, I think this is very much a good thing. But like, yeah, to the point, sorry, I was going to make was that they've got rid of the automatic rematch clause. But yet, by the end of this, it was still setting up the fact that this still is a triple threat feud between Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Asuka, because Asuka's posing with the belt while the other two stood up and looked at her. So maybe we'll get something with them at the Rumble. But one has to imagine that Becky's going to be in the Rumble.
Well, we'll see. I'm really into all three of them, and I'm excited about. There's so many ways they can go with that.
Yeah,
feud,
really,
which is what you want.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Miz knocking on Vince's, or the McMahon family, was how this door was labelled.
Absolutely.
And But Vince eventually came out. Miz was knocking for Shane like a kid, saying, is Shane coming out to play?
Vince comes out and says, Shane can't play today. Shane can't come out to play today.
He said that after doing some weird, like a weird knocking bit that presumably he's been working on for his stand-up. he comes out and he goes, was that a... I could barely hear anything he was saying.
I know. I'd really struggle to pick up what McMahon was putting down.
Yeah, and that's not because in the Shane way where he just says the wrong words. It's just because he was...
Was that a child's knock? Was that a adolescent knock?
Yeah.
And so I reckon Vince has got heat with knocks. I didn't say this yesterday. I've got a theory that Baron Corbin's going to get genuine backstage heat off the back of his kayfabe heat.
Oh yeah.
Because the McMahon. No, you were the reason we were doing so bad.
So terrible. It is all your fault, Baron. Yeah. So, but Miz basically wants to speak to Shane because he wants to pick up this storyline of them being the best tag team in the world. And he's asking Vince for his blessing, essentially. And they play this up as if, like, Miz was going to propose to Shane. That's essentially what they were sort of playing off on. It was quite funny, actually. I did enjoy this.
I thought it was very well performed.
Yeah.
On Miz's part.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really good at acting stuff like this.
Mumbly Vince wasn't as great.
It was funny. Yeah, but Vince was bad. And he seemed to fluff his own line as well. Because he said, okay, I won't give you Shane, but I'll book you in a tag match tonight and you've got to find your tag partner. I'll find your tag partner.
Yeah. Either way, he's setting up a tag match for later on.
And there was this amazing spot, I don't know how they did it, where Vince walks into his locker, back into his room, and Miz goes to follow him, but the door slams. As the door slams, Miz's hood comes off. This was incredible.
It's a piece of string.
I think so. I was trying to work out how they did it. It can't be the gust of air because the door wasn't that wide open.
And his hood is quite tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who
would have thought of all the things on this show that would blow your tiny little mind? It was the Miz's hood.
It was a working hood. So then we got Rusev and Lana cutting a promo backstage. I really like Rusev's character.
He's so great. He's just like, I've got everything. I'm so handsome. I'm a genuine hunk. Like, I'm such a hunk. I've got such a great beard. You could sell my beard on eBay and make jumpers out of it for kids.
And he stumbled over a lot of his words, but I didn't mind.
Don't mind it, mate.
He's got this big grin on his face. It's weird for someone to stand there with this beautiful blonde wife, and he's talking about how handsome he is, how great his beard is. That is a heel gimmick.
Yep.
And 99 times out of 100, that is a heel gimmick.
But it's like...
But he's such a baby face.
When he first did the handsome Rusev thing, and he said it was like to Big E, he was like, why do you call yourself Big E? We all can see you're big. I don't call myself handsome Rusev. And that started like this handsome Rusev gimmick. Or in my eyes, like, you're now the biggest baby face on this brand.
So he was a heel back then.
I know, that's what I mean. But it's like, he's so good at doing this, like... You've sort of by like, yeah, I mean, you are doing like the dashing Cody Rhodes thing, but you're not being a dick about it.
I think it's just because he's so, when he smiles, like, you know how Vince goes, when Ronda smiles, the world smiles with you.
Yeah.
Genuinely with Rusev. Wait, if he's smiling, genuinely, I'm already laughing.
Mate, when Shinsuke Nakamura plays that video package later on, I've never wanted to watch Total Divas more than in my entire life. I have actively avoided watching that show for the longest time. But as soon as I saw those clips, I was like, if I could just have like a really good supercut of all the good Rusev scenes, then I might genuinely watch that.
Do you remember, did you ever see that clip when Rusev was live streaming?
Yeah, we're not watching that again!
And Sheamus is around, because they're very good friends, like they're best friends in real life.
Yeah.
He's going, should we watch another episode of Total Divas? Sheamus doesn't know Rusev's live streaming. Yes. I'm not watching that S word.
Yeah.
And Rusev goes, we're live streaming.
Have you seen the video that Xavier Woods put up on his Twitter? Because he loves Tyler Breeze. Like, they're really good friends. And he was watching the Tyler Breeze match against Dean Ambrose. Mm. He was watching it live, by all accounts, on his laptop backstage at whatever show they were at. But he was live streaming it in a building which had terrible Wi-Fi. And Rusev and Lana are sort of like watching him watching it. And they just keep laughing at him when the stream freezes. Because he's like, and it literally is like, Tyler Breeze gets a cover. And the stream is like, no, I want to know if he wins. And Rusev goes, I bet you when you get that Wi-Fi back, the match will be over and he's lost. And Titan was like, no. He like refreshed the Wi-Fi. And the second he gets it back, Dean Ambrose gets the pin. And you can see Rusev laughing his ass off so much behind him. And he turned around to like point him and go like, don't laugh at me. Like, that's my friend. He's just lost. And he was looking at him so much that he missed the replay. So he missed the finish again, brilliant, which made Rusev laugh even more.
Brilliant. Yeah, he's so great. Rusev is super over. Oh. And then he says, like, after saying how handsome he is, he says, and look at Shinsuke Nakamura. He's got an 8x10 here of Nakamura and his new Scrubs outfit. He goes, he looks like Sonic the Hedgehog.
What, awesome.
Which is an actual current pop culture reference.
It is, yeah.
Because of the Sonic the Hedgehog, the horrible movie poster.
Well, yeah. So when he says Sonic the Hedgehog, I look to my left in my office with my framed Sonic poster from the old Mega Drive days. And I'd be like, God, he looks awesome. And then I think, oh no, maybe he's just talking about the new movie version, yeah, where he looks a bit weird, a bit gross and weird.
Next up, the Rusev stuff was a Nakamura bit later on, which we'll talk about. But that is to build to their match next week.
Yes,
at the
Christmas Day episode.
Then we got probably the dullest segment on the show, but it wasn't too
bad. I thought Joe was good.
Yeah. So they've been promoting Samoa Joe's apology all night to Jeff Hardy because he keeps on calling them out for being an addict. And Joe comes down and Jeff's already out there to hear it. And Joe says, well, it's not really an apology. It's an intervention.
Yeah.
Because it's Christmas and that's when demons take hold of people. I thought it was a very good idea and concept.
And I liked Jeff's promo beforehand as well. I'm not usually massive on Jeff promos. But he was essentially saying, like, you know, Joe's right about my past. I do have my demons. But every morning I wake up and I look in the mirror and I've got my demons with me. But I'm thankful to be alive and I'm thankful to be here doing what I do. And I'm like, yeah, that's good, man. Good for you. Then Joe, this absolute dick, comes out and be like, oh, I know, but really, it's Christmas time, yeah, you're going to have a drink, you're probably going to get in a car, and we all know what happens there. Mm. And Jeff just turns that around and be like, really, you're just insecure because you've been here for 2 years and haven't won a title yet. And Joe, you can, all this look on Joe's face, which is like, you mother effer.
Yeah.
How dare you bring that up?
And the crowd, it was a line delivered in a way where it was like, ooh.
Ooh, actually, that's a bit cutting.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And like Joe's just been saying, well, it's really nice. Ooh. Ooh. So that, yeah, it was fine. Joe goes to attack. Jeff hits a twist of fate and leaves.
Yeah.
It's nice to, it was a short, whatever. It was just that I felt on the whole show it was the weakest part.
Yes. Then we got The Miz teaming with Mandy Rose to take on the formidable winners of Mixed Match Challenge Season 2, R-Truth and Carmella. It was really funny as well because The Miz comes out like looking for who his tag team partner is going to be. And Greg Hamilton goes, and his tag team partner. The crowd goes, CM Punk, CM Punk. But no, it was in fact, I need to call her Maryse then, Mandy Rose. Mm. But really, that's why Mandy Rose was in this position. And so R-Truth could think she was Maryse.
Which was funny. R-Truth
good
and
comedy.
Carmella
good comedy.
They talk about being, can't wait to be number 30 spots, can't wait for their trip to WWE HQ, which I can't wait for myself. And then he says, and I can't wait to face you and Maryse there.
Yeah. Good comedy. Yeah, I liked it. Cool. I thought it was funny. Dance break, skull crusher finale, Miz wins.
Yeah.
It took about less than a minute, I reckon it went.
Yeah, and that's what it needed to be. It was only an angle, really.
Absolutely.
And Corey Graves really made me laugh. So they do the dance break, and then Mandy Rose interrupts, but then Carmella takes out Rose, and that gives Miz the opportunity to come in Skull Crushing Finale on Truth to win. And Corey's like, Mandy made the ultimate sacrifice because he's so on Mandy Rose's side. He like spins it to be this brilliant victory by Rose.
And then he got really excited because he was like, she was checking me out. She was checking me out at ringside.
Oh, by the way, David Otunga was apparently on the show again.
Yeah, I missed him completely. Did not know he was there until they showed him on camera. And I was like, oh, you're not Byron Saxton again.
Then we got a Mustafa Ali. Oh, that's when they announced that, Corey announced that Mustafa Ali is now on the SmackDown roster.
Yeah.
Then we got the same run of promos advertising the NXT call-ups.
Just lastly on that Miz thing, they've announced the Miz TV with Shane McMahon for next week.
Did you see what Otis Dozovich tweeted?
I did not. So I bet you it's amazing.
Yep, it is. When these same NXT call-up packages, so EC3, Lars Sullivan, Lacey Sullivan...
Nikki Cross
and Heavy Machinery, those promos ran again. We don't know which brand they're going to.
No.
Otis tweeted, Tucky! We're on our way to Tuesday nights. Yay. And then with a load of hashtags. And Tucker's replied saying, we don't know where we're going yet. And a few sites reported this as, yeah. Oh, well, he's leaked the thing. I'm sure we have as well. But what actually happened, I went back because I thought, this is Otis. This seems like Otis being silly.
Yeah.
You go back a few more tweets, he said the exact same thing about Raw when they ran the NXT promos. It's like, we're going to Monday, Tucky!
Tucky!
With the exact same hashtags, the exact same wording.
He's great. He's so, so
very
good.
Funny. He just wants to have fun.
And he's so much fun to watch.
But they really should, if they're going to go anywhere, they've got to go to Raw. Because as we saw in the next segment, the SmackDown's tag division is stacked.
Yeah, and we haven't even seen the colognes.
Oh, I like the colognes.
I know you do. I'm making fun.
So we've got the three main ones of the champions, the Bar, you've got the New Day, you've got the Usos. The Usos came out here and they were cutting the promo. But as was foreshadowed earlier on with the opening roster segment in Shane McMahon's address, Carl Anderson came out.
And Carl Anderson cut almost the exact same promo I cut on our TLC review, which again just proves that WWE watches these shows. It's undeniable at this point.
Yeah, so they say, you know, like, they have great matches.
They're great teams.
The Bar and New Day, but you're not having that matches every week. We didn't have a match last week, and you got a rap battle segment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's fair point.
And they said, we haven't been on TV since August.
Insane.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, so Glanderson said, now we're going to start taking things back. And they had... I really enjoyed this match with the Usos.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. It was really a lot of fun.
There was this... I mean, Carl Anderson is so good. He's underrated. Amazing. He might be one of the most underrated main roster guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, people, you know, Tyler Breeze, obviously, and Cesaro, but Carl Anderson, at least Breeze was on telly this week and had a few open challenge answers, and Cesaro's tag team champion. Carl Anderson is amazing. And there's this spot where one of the Usos is going for a dive on Gallows. Out in that great camera work, because you don't see Anderson coming. He does the sort of, what do you call, like a high kick to cut off the Uso dive. And that was going into the ad break. That was a really good spot.
I thought it was really good. Did this go through two ad breaks as well? Like, it really got quite a bit of time. I mean, it was more ad break than it was match, but they gave it, you know, a decent amount of time. And then before you know it, the Bar's music hit, and you're like, all right, well, here we go. The Bar are coming out to cause a distraction, yada, yada, yada. And because you're so focused on this, you then miss that Sanity ran in from the crowd and start laying waste to all teams. And I've got in all caps, Sanity come out for the DQ. Yes, because I'm so glad to see Sanity back on TV, looking dominant, doing something. And Killian Dane sat there on the outside, and there's this big old crossbody onto, I believe it was Jey Uso on the outside, laid everyone out, and then looked up to the... They didn't challenge the Bar or anything like that. They essentially just walked up the ramp to be like, "Did you see that? It's pretty good, right?" And the Bar then sort of like confer with each other and be like, "Well, we can't be made to look like chumps here."
Yeah.
So they go down and it's like, "Oh, it's going to kick them a little bit. Yeah, we're also brilliant. We're the tag team champions." And as I said in the review, it's the first time in quite some time, I'd argue, that the tag champs and the tag team division has been taken seriously. And I'm all for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Again, there's so many ways they can go with this. Hopefully they don't choose New Day, Bar, and... The Usos again. As much as I love those three, it's great to mix them up a bit.
Shout out to Corey Graves on commentary as well, because Gallows hit a Baldo bomb, and Corey Graves like, "I mean, I would call that a Baldo bomb, but no one remembers him." Nice.
This hasn't made me go, "Oh wow, Carl Anderson are restored to where they were," or Sanity are at their promise.
Absolutely,
but
not.
It's optimistic. This is an optimistic segment of where they can go, and I hope they continue down that path.
When you're playing a classic board game, you have to move spaces before you get to the end.
We recognise that change doesn't happen overnight.
Absolutely not.
But you have to take one step.
You have to at least roll the dice.
And then the last thing we'll talk about, because the main event came after it, which we've already discussed, is the Shinsuke Nakamura promo. He's there in his blue jumpsuit, and he just plays this montage of Rusev clips.
Yeah.
From Total Divas to be like, "I'm not scared of you, mate. Look,
look
you're
what a goofball you are."
Yeah, and it's just this wonderful montage of clips of Rusev in a thong.
Yep.
Mowing the lawn in Total Divas, semi-naked.
Cooking naked.
Yeah.
Just having a whale of a time. Just being... I want to hang out with Rusev.
Yeah.
If I could pick any WWE guy to go out for a drink with, it would probably be Rusev.
More than Otis.
Otis would want, well, I mean, as a vegetarian now, he'd want to go and eat steaks that's all the time, point. And I wouldn't have as much fun with that. But I could certainly go out for a drink with Rusev.
Yeah, can I have the Undisputed Era? And I can sit with them and we can be cool and make fun of other people. Oh, look at that person over there, yeah.
But what if they could start making fun of you?
Well, no, I hope they wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Well, that's what a terrific episode of SmackDown. What
I really enjoyed it. Very, very high Smacktastic.
I'd agree that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so much wrestling as well.
Yeah.
All the wrestling got a lot of time.
And it was all good.
Happened.
Shocking. Yeah. And it was like, we've said this about SmackDown before, but it almost feels like this should be like your standards for SmackDown, because you've got so much talent on that show that you should be able to put on high 3 out of 5s, 4 out of 5 shows each and every week. You've almost got notes. Even by accident, you should put these on because you just have good matches. You don't have to try.
There are so many combinations that are very, very good, yeah.
And we've got some new potentials in the main event scene of Almas and Ali. Even they could spin off into their own feuds either way. Like, there's lots of, like a good game of chess, a lot of pieces are being moved into place.
The more we talk about it, I the Royal Rumble is not sold on what the championship matches are.
Nope.
I wouldn't mind a Brian Ali match.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way to make, like, to get him solidified as an upper mid carder.
God, and they would have such a great match on pay-per-view. On pay-per-view, they would have an incredible match together.
Ali would damn near kill him.
Oh, absolutely, to get himself over, yeah.
And presumably Brian as well.
Yep. So I'm going to get this kid over if it bloody kills me.
Oh, no, I meant Ali would probably kill Brian.
Is it this?
His ring gear is so cool as well when he comes down.
Oh, yeah, he totally looks like a Mortal Kombat character. Yeah. Like a Mortal Kombat character from the future with all of his LED lights and whatnot.
Well, big win.
Do you want to help out the algorithm?
Or do you want to... usually we leave those for the end.
Oh, I was hoping you would read out the algorithm so I could find an email to read.
Oh, I thought you've got the big, long agony.
Yeah, but I need to find a way to condense it down because it's still 27 paragraphs.
Oh, wow.
Despite the fact that they have sent it, you know, 4 or 5
but
times.
But it's urgent, and this is like the last intro-outro we'll do of the year.
I suppose you're right. So I suppose we do have to try and do it.
All the others are mini-sodes, folks.
Granted, but does this not encourage people then to just say, hey, you've got to read this before the end of the week?
Well, it won't matter because this is the last one.
But they could do it next year. And like what I'm saying is it sets a precedent that even if you sent yours 3 months ago and you're waiting for it to be read out, you can just say, no, do it now. And we'll go, okay, we better do it now then.
But this is an agony art.
I know, but we've still got a lot of backlog of agony arts. Our agony arts is basically becoming the crap gimmicks of the Saturday show, where we've got a massive backlog of them because we never get time to read them out. You do some of this. I'm going to see if I can try and condense this down.
I will. So we did a call out yesterday because we realised that we hadn't read out iTunes reviews for the better part of a year, and that is it's important. Because that helped, we think it helps the podcast get up higher in search returns.
Yes.
So we said that, and we've already had at least 3 reviews.
What?
5-star reviews, of course. First from The Only Lemon. Love it. Listen to it all the time, to the point that you guys are starting to change my vocabulary. People look at me funny when I use slang from outside of the States, but who cares what they think? You should. Everyone should be really concerned with what other people think of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they always teach you in confidence classes.
Have you got any others?
I've got 2 more.
Oh, please do.
From Kaiju Chaos, Ollie Davis.
Well, he's got a great name.
Is my spirit animal. As far as wrestling podcasts go, they don't come much better. The hosts are humorous, insightful, and critical without becoming vitriolic or overly cynical. I'm glad that's a
good way of looking at it. Yeah, we're not being negative, or we're not being like overly cynical.
Yeah, we want to. We come into every show wanting to love.
Yeah.
What the wrestling is.
The feedback that I have had is that the reason why people say that I'm too negative is that the way that I say it. That's what I've been told.
Because of your evil laugh.
I guess
every
it is. Yes, but basically, I guess it's because I was like this. All of this is rubbish. And it's terrible.
You do have a tendency to be go down the hyperbole path.
Well, speaking of, I am, you know me, I'm not prone to hyperbole, but we need to have a chat about WrestlePsych Randy Datson.
What's he done?
Well, so he came in. This is while you were recording the news. This is a genuine. I might have to. You need to go into HR mode here, I'm afraid. Wow. Get into HR mode.
Randy Datson.
Randy Datson. He came into the office and he had his music playing in his headphones, but he'd taken one of the headphones off.
That's his preferred sitting position.
Yeah, well,
we can always keep an ear out for what's lurking.
But so he was, this is while he was tidying things up a little bit, doing good work, really.
Yeah, I called it a jabroni job when I gave it.
Well, it was a little bit. It's a job that you and I are too important to do.
Yeah.
And so I could hear the music that he was playing. And loudly, he was listening to The Rasmus.
Wow.
Yeah. And I and I sort of stopped.
The one song that The Rasmus did.
Correct. Yeah. And I sort of stopped and I was like, wait, are you listening to The Rasmus? And he was like, oh yeah, this is like one of the best songs ever.
Ooh.
I just think something needs to be said. Because he was sort of adamant. He was like, and then he said a bigger card. He was like, oh, yeah, it was a massive song when I was a child. And I was like, oh, my God, you're so young. Mm. I
can't be down at him for being young.
No,
I've made my peace with that.
But I did tell him that, like, you know, hey, man, it's a terrible song. It's a god-awful song. Like, no one in the history of anything has ever said, that's a good song. Not even the Rasmus would say that's a good song because it's a god-awful piece of garbage. And I said to him, I was like, I've seen them live. I saw them at Reading Festival, and people were throwing a lot of things at them because they were so bad. That only ever happens to very, very bad bands at Reading Festival, like Daphne and Celeste when they played in 2000, or Good Charlotte. Bands that are very, very bad, that's when you throw things at them. And the Rasmus were one of those bands.
It was In the Shadows, wasn't it?
That's the one.
So I'm going to do that thing that everyone hates where I play it into the microphone.
Oh, don't, because it's already been stuck in my head and I can only hear it through that idiot's stupid headphones.
Oh, yeah, this is it.
Oh, my God.
Talking over this musical genius. We're not the BBC. We can play it uninterrupted.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah, I think everyone's got it just from the
terrible song.
I think that's how you pronounce that Chinese maker of phones. I can't get it down.
Which one?
Well.
Oh,
that one.
Huawei.
I don't think that's how you say
it. I'm pretty sure it is because I used to work for a phone contract provider, and I believe Huawei. I believe that's how it's said.
Hawaii.
I believe that's Weo, what it is.
Weo is what I've settled. Weo.
They were the only other fans of the Rasmus and named their company after it.
That takes me back. My friend used to make me crack up as a really young child, like we're talking 8 years old, where he told me he used to do impressions of fish and like the sounds they would make. And he said that a monkfish made the sound "wah wah," and he would just scream it out in class sometimes. Innocent days. I didn't finish with Kaiju Chaos's.
You did not.
Review. Ollie, Luke, and Laurie are for the most part on the positive side of things, a feat that is certainly difficult with the current mainstream wrestling product. With the addition of segments such as Get Better and Agony Arts, the podcast leaves the territory of a mere wrestling criticism show and becomes something special that so many podcasts and other broadcast outlets strive so hard for, to feel like time spent with friends. Truly one of the few diamonds amongst the rough of the other wrestling pods out there.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Those are very, very kind words. And as I said, an excellent iTunes name there. Getting the big K word in there is always going to get over with me.
So everyone put your iTunes reviews. Like, it's a Christmas present to us, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Well.
Is that just UK? Did you check US?
I mean, there's one more.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Are you still stalling for time?
A little bit. It's a long email.
Depressed Vivo writes, it's fine.
We shouldn't laugh. I texted, when we were going to the Muppet Christmas Carol last week, I did text to the group saying, like, Ollie and I have already bought tickets, but it had been auto-corrected to Oil and I have bought tickets, which my friend Tom found hilarious. So you shouldn't laugh at autocorrect.
Yeah. A great podcast to hear when going to school or going to work. This podcast is the only reason why I always have my headphones on me. I would say, I love this podcast, but I'm going to say how Luke Owens would say it. It's fine. By the way, this is an inside joke Ollie made a while ago, and he said wild, in the podcast. I don't think you guys will remember it. I don't remember it. It fine.
Well, I mean, because I used to say, it was fine.
It was fine, but it seems like he's making a joke about how we didn't say that one time. It's an in-joke on top of the in-joke.
And it's one that we don't remember.
It fine.
I mean, yeah, I like the...
It's like a caveman saying something.
I like that we've got fans that can remember like real specifics of things that we do on this show. But bearing in mind, we forgot that Vince McMahon appeared on SmackDown 1000. And that was only a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I think someone
was baffled that we couldn't remember that.
I don't remember what I did yesterday.
I know, right? How can you be real wrestling fans if you can't remember that?
Because we've got lives!
We've got other things to do.
I want someone... as another Christmas present, to just come up with all the in-jokes we've got. Like, keep, like, an in-joke Bible that we can refer to. It will make writing scripts easier. Are you... I mean, it's... We're out of time now. Can you do it in a sentence?
No, I've managed to whittle it down to about 5 paragraphs.
How long are the paragraphs?
Long.
Okay.
Can we do it?
Yeah, go on.
It's Christmas, after all. Okay, so this obviously comes from Vacant. I will try and read out as much as I can. I do apologise. I'm not saying that what you have written is unimportant. It's just that we are pushed for time, and I've got to try and get this. They do give a lot of background on this, so hopefully I've got that across. My girlfriend, who has lived with me here in Florida, along with her recently turned 21-year-old daughter for about 8 years now, recently got hurt quite badly. Quick background, we met at school in 1991, so we've been friends for a long time, despite lapses in contact, during which she's had a kid with someone else. Anyway, she's very OCD and really quirky, oddball, always reading the info and content labels at the store, regardless of always buying the same items and such. Anyway, she has for the past year opted to walk the half mile to the grocery store at 9 p.m. to avoid sunlight. She's on government disability for mental emotional reasons and has been in therapy since she was a child and doesn't drive. I've gotten her into wrestling, and we watch pay-per-views and specific Raw and SmackDown shows I think she will enjoy, and she hates matches and only watches the angle and build, but we do listen to your shows religiously, so I know your mentioning her will mean something special to her indeed. I don't know how to phrase my request. I guess just having you and your listeners give her well wishes, and that she is cared for and worth caring for, even if it's just for a few fellow human beings who was hit by a car that raced away less than a block from our house. I was driving home and literally pulled over when I saw other cars pulled over and saw that it was her who had been unable to stand and slurring, screaming at the passers-by to get away from her, as she was fine. Don't call an ambulance, don't touch her. As I've said, she's OCD, so touching is out. And I'm not going to go on about it here. You guys might have read aloud that she would hear, but draw from this statement what you will. Hugging me or even her daughter is a rare occurrence. I doubt anything you or others said here about taking meds while in hospital will fall on deaf ears, but perhaps if everyone said that they do care about her, and maybe if you guys would like to hear an email from her when she's home and better, then I could maybe get a smile from her. I mean, she is saying she doesn't want to take anesthesia for her upcoming brain surgery, which is ridiculous and I think impossible. And having over a dozen concussions myself from baseball growing up and fixing air conditioners, now especially knowing her previous behavior, her stance isn't being caused by anything new. Sorry if that doesn't make sense. I was reading that for base, and I think I've more or less got the point across. So yeah, I think he just wants us to. He did send a different email about this particular issue, sort of like looking for some advice within this relationship. But I think that we should wish some well wishes. It is the time of giving. It is the time of love, as the Muppets would tell you. So best wishes to you, Vacant, and to your lady partner, your lady friends. Hope everything goes all right.
Yeah, now's not the time to turn heel, is it? I'm not going to do a Dean Ambrose at the end of Raw.
Yes.
We wish you both well.
Absolutely. We wish you very much.
And definitely take the anesthesia.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That is rock hard if you get through that surgery without it.
Oh, mate. Yeah. That's Haku levels of, like, I'm nails.
Was that, like, even, surely local at the very least? But you would want to be under for that.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I was going to have root canal, I was like, can I be put under local anesthesia? Because I do not want to go through this. And that was minor. root canal surgery on my teeth.
Get Nia Jax in here. Just knock me out.
Face break. Hashtag face break the heck out of me. Well, I suppose that is all we've got time for, but let's have a joke just to, you know, let's do...
We would like an update as well.
Absolutely. So, I would like to end this with a much more cheery note. Hopefully this can bring a smile to your face. It is a Christmas cracker joke from Connor's Cure Quran. Not exactly Christmas related, but it's one of my favourite Christmas cracker I had at a work Christmas party. If it doesn't count for the Christmas episode, use it for a normal one. What do you call a pig in the desert wearing nothing but a witch's hat? A ham sandwich. Regards, Connor Curran.
Good grief. Where did that come from?
I thought I would punctuate.
Have you been saving that?
No, but it did come up out of nowhere, and I thought I could probably make something of this.
From out of nowhere. That was perfectly timed.
Thank you very much.
I'm not even angry. How rude that was.
Yeah, apologise if anyone was listening to that. I mean, people are listening to it, but if you listened to that and was like, well, that was gross and disgusting.
We've got to put an explicit warning on.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see, well, at least I will see you tomorrow for the Wrestle Ramble NXT review. And that will be the last episode of the year that will have the intros and outros. Thank you so much for your correspondence all year long. But don't worry, there will be plenty of Wrestle Rambles going up over the holiday periods. We've got loads of them going up. We've got an NXT year in review, a Raw in year review, SmackDown year in review, best and worst moments of the year, your 2019 predictions, and the Christmas special.
Yeah, which has no topic.
No topic.
It's just us getting drunk.
And may also have the explicit warning on there. Yeah.
And because, I mean, that we're filming that tomorrow, so if you really have something burning to tell us or just nice things to say,
absolutely, get in touch.
Send in an email, we might read it out on the show.
That's luke@wrestletalk.com. please do get in touch with me, because Ollie doesn't look at any of the emails that you send, because he thinks you all smell.
I don't care about you at all. And we'll be back on the 2nd of January,
yes, with brand new intros
Wednesday,
and outros.
Yeah,
so we're doing a bumper Raw and SmackDown review. It's like the old days when we used to review Raw and SmackDown on one show.
I've been thinking
about that. Oh, yeah?
It means we have to watch Raw and SmackDown in a morning.
And they probably will be like throwaway shows as well, because
we'll see.
I don't think we're going to really focus on... I don't think WWE are going to focus on Raw and SmackDown, what they're doing, until at least the 7th.
Because that means I have to watch Raw on New Year's Day, and I'm going to be so hungover.
My wife even said to me, was like, if you need to watch Raw on New Year's Day, just like, you can do it, it's fine. And I looked at her, I was like, well, I love you for saying that's okay. I'd really rather not.
Yeah, to tell me I can't do it. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
We'll see you soon. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.